See, if you understand that, you'll be ferocious and you'll be persevering in your believing because you won't regret trusting God. Listen, I've had some world scale Olympic gold medal faith disappointments where things did not work out the way I was hoping they would, the way I was trusting they would. And I'm going to make a statement to you. It might sound outrageous, but I believe it's to misdirect you from believing. But if you remember that, listen, at the end of the day, listen, I went through a series. As a matter of fact, in my book there that I have, my books are on the back table, there's a chapter in one book that really chronicles our life and everything called The God Who Intervenes. There's a chapter in there called Suffering Loss. Because I went through a couple-year period where, man, things were going sideways around us. You know, and we were, I mean, I lost my brother. We lost one of the pastors from our staff. It was like, it was not good. You know what I'm saying? But in that process, I was a believer. And I never regretted believing. I didn't want to stand in front of God and him saying, why didn't you believe me? Why didn't you trust me? See, that stuff's all in God's hands. And someday maybe we'll talk about it in heaven. Actually, I think we get to heaven, we won't care about a whole lot, but you, maybe if you have some questions, God will entertain them. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, if you trust God and you're a believer, you will never regret trusting God. You know, when Faith shared this morning, I just leaned over to Ben and said, that's my message. She talked about being in a hospital and not knowing what was going to happen to her babies, but deciding ahead of time, God, I'm still going to be okay. I'm going to praise you. Me and you will not change. Hallelujah. Are you with me? See, that's faith. See, faith is Godward. Faith is about pleasing God. You know, in Daniel, the third chapter, you know the story, many of you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The three Hebrew boys, the king said to them, unless you bow down and worship the false image, then you're dying. You're getting thrown into the human hell. We're going to create this furnace. And you need to think about it. So we don't need to think about it. See, some things you don't need to think about or pray about. Oh, king, we're not doing that. And God is going to deliver us. And the next verse says, and even if he doesn't, we will not serve you. God is going to deliver us. And even if he doesn't, we're not going to serve you. Heat up the furnace. See, that's faith. Faith says, my faith is in God, not just in a targeted circumstance. I like targeted circumstances. Now, on the other side of my life, Penny and I will share this with you. Again, many stories in the book, that everything we've seen major breakthrough, we've been in the middle of incredible miracles. We've seen supernatural things. We've seen God show up in incredible ways. And in each time, those didn't just happen easily. That's where we were hanging on to the Word of God. We were confessing the Word of God. We were pleading the Word of God. We were standing on the Word of God. We were resisting other information that was coming our way. Hallelujah. But see, you can't do that if you're afraid of being disappointed all the time. And so what happens is believers start out on fire, and inevitably they hit the fragilities of life, and things get broken, and things go sideways, and then they just start coasting, and they stop being believers. They start thinking about me, just like if we're in worship and we're just. That's why I don't like singing songs about me in worship. Just honestly, I got enough of me. I don't need to come to church and sing about me. Okay. I want to sing songs about it. That's why I was able to enter in today and just magnify the Lord. How about you? I need to magnify the Lord. You know, when you magnify God, he doesn't get bigger. You just see him bigger. You just see who he is. The magnifying glass doesn't change the size of anything. It just makes you shrink maybe, but outside of that. Amen. So this is real faith. Real faith is not afraid of being disappointed. The Bible says if we believe in the scriptures, as he said, we will nowise be disappointed. And by the way, there's a big difference between being disappointed and being discouraged. Those are two different things. I've been disappointed often. Matter of fact, if you don't have high ideals, let me reverse that. I would say this. If you haven't been disappointed recently, you're not believing for much. Amen? But discouragement is allowing the enemy to take your courage. So you won't go back and believe again. Here I come, Lord. I'm coming right back at this. Amen. I'm coming. I'm here. I'm not going away. I'm a believer. It's faith that pleases you. I don't know about all these other things, God, but I want to please you. At the end of the day, pleasing God. When we lay our head on the pillow at night, we can rehearse our whole life, but here's the question we should ask. Did I please God today? Was I pleasing to the Lord God Almighty today? Amen. Now, most nights when I lay my head down, I think of things I could have done better. I think of things I would want to accomplish more. I just always have high expectations. I'm not going to apologize for those. I'm not going to cash those in. I'm not going to give up when they go sideways. Are you with me? It's faith that pleases God. And it's aside from that, it's impossible to please Him without faith. Matter of fact, let me ask you a question right now. Right now, if I could take a spiritual x-ray into your heart, where would your faith be engaged? Is there an active faith right now? Honestly, is the faith muscle, for lack of a better words, is it hanging on to something? Or are you just kind of like hoping things will go okay? That's like putting your car in neutral on a hill and taking your foot off the brake and hoping you're going to go forward. Let me just share with you, I don't advise that, okay? Especially in Pittsburgh, you'll end up in a river invariably. Everything runs downhill, right? Now look at this verse now. It says, and he who comes, okay? He who comes to the Lord, right? He who comes to the Lord. Faith gives us access. When we talk about Ephesians 2, okay, that gives this magnificent description of the church. It uses that word access. And we have access to God. Faith is what gives you access, not your good works. See, Pastor Gary, because he's traveling the world, listen to me, does not have more access to God than you do. Hello? He's quiet. That's religious thinking. And see, sometimes I know people will approach me and say, you know, Pastor Keith, would you pray for me? Now, here's the question I have in the back of my mind when they do that, which I would gladly do, is are they asking me to agree with them or are they asking me to take their place? Are they perceiving me as somebody that somehow, because I got a big mouth or something, has more access to God? That's wrong thinking. We have access to God because of, say it, faith. Faith in what? Faith in us? No, faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're gonna shift gears and get into that. Matter of fact, when you read through the book of Hebrews, we're reading out of chapter 11 today. But if you start in chapter 1 and you start reading the book of Hebrews. Now, here's a question. Who was the book of Hebrews written to? Hebrews, you're a smart group. It was written to people who were formerly practicing Jews. They were the people that went to the temple and did the sacrifices and did all this stuff. And they were devout, and now they were converted to Christ. But some of them were beginning to slip back into the religious tradition. They were wondering about, you know, maybe I should go offer a lamb or a bull, or, you know, Passover's coming, you know, what should I do? And they're being pulled. And he's saying, look, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You got to have faith in the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, nobody in this room was a practicing Jew. There haven't been any since 70 AD when the temple was torn down, so I'm pretty safe on that. There hasn't been an animal sacrifice made since then. But, you know, sometimes we have an old lifestyle that's not necessarily sinful. It's work. It's a promotion. It's education. How about this one? Family. Good things that become idols. We're just coasting. Or when we think of ourselves as being like in a good place, we think of those things rather than I'm pursuing God. I'm growing in God. Amen. So in all these chapters, he's working through. He starts in the beginning. Jesus is better than Moses. Then he gets real turfy. He goes, Jesus is better than Abraham. Then he really goes and goes, Jesus is better than all the angels. And then he says, Jesus is God, and he's as good as God, and they are equal, and they are one. In other words, he's setting them up to understand that the reason that it's impossible to please God without faith is that Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. And there's nothing else we can do about that. Jesus is better than all those things. And your salvation is in his sacrifice and his resurrection. That's why Easter is such a big deal. Because if Jesus is not raised from the dead, our faith is in vain, the Bible says. Now let's just read a couple verses, okay? I'm just going to pepper you with a couple from the book of Hebrews. Let's look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 8. Now the main point in which has been said, so that's a summary, right? Their main point. We have such a high priest, speaking about Jesus, who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. Now, one of the pictures of Jesus in the New Testament, every time except for one, is he's seated. Why is he seated? Because he's at rest, right? Because he's accomplished salvation. There's nothing more he has to do. It's already been done. The only time we see him standing up is when Stephen is being martyred, it said, and the Lord stood up. That's a whole other message. Look at Hebrews 9, verse 12. 9:12, please. We have that? There we go. You have 9:19. You don't have 9:12? Okay, let me read it. Hang with me here for a minute. Hebrews 9:12. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place, listen to this, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. How many times did Jesus have to die and be raised again? One time. That's why we can have faith in him. Okay? Very, very important. Look in that same chapter, verse 28, 9:28. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly wait for him. If you go to the next chapter, chapter 10, and you go to verse 19, it says, therefore, brethren, which is another conclusion. Okay, there we are. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by, how do we do it? By the blood of Jesus. When you come to God, let me ask you a question. I know I'm probing here today. When you come to God, do you come on your merits or his merits? When you sin, how about this? Let's get real. When you sin, do you shy away from God or do you run to God? See, if you understand what I'm talking about today, there's this incredible dynamic that happens when you are very aware of sin, but very desirous of righteousness, and you run to God. If you don't understand this, then your sin, you feel like you're not included in the family anymore. Okay? And you're waiting to get your act together, you know? And you don't come boldly, the Bible says, to the throne of grace. Look at verse 20. By a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil. That is through the veil of his flesh. The temple had a veil. I don't have time to go into that. Now the veil becomes Christ's body that he split for us. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God. In other words, the priest is pleading the case. Right? The priest is defending us. You're looking at you and you're seeing all your mess. And God's looking at you and he sees the blood. He's not denying the mess. He just has a solution for the mess. And it's the blood. Amen? It's the blood of Christ. Very, very important that we understand this. Let me try to give you maybe a practical illustration. If sin was a bullet, how many bullets would it take to kill a person? One good shot, right? So there are people in this room who had the benefit and blessing of being raised by nurturing, godly parents, and maybe they never fell into some of the things that, like, happened in my life. Are you with me? But you know what? They were still lost. It only took a sin, one bad attitude, to say, you need a Savior, right? And then there are others that are in the room. We took a lot of shots. We had a lot of bullets, okay? But we're just as dead. And I think sometimes what happens is we start comparing ourselves to other people. We look at their outside situation. We look at their place in life. We look at the, you know, what's happening in their family and things like this. And those are all wonderful things. But listen, the thing we've been delivered from is sin. And everybody must be born again. You can't be good enough to get into the kingdom. Your faith cannot be on who your father was, your mother was, or what church you went to. Are you with me? Or that you weren't bad like that other person. You understand that I will go to hell because I have a sin nature that offends God. And he's pleading his case all through the book of Hebrews of don't fall back into that thinking. Don't start thinking religious. God has redeemed you, and you all need, we need an equal redemption. Do you understand that? Very, very important that we grab that we understand that. And then part of the book of Hebrews is really these warnings about not falling backwards. Listen to what he says. Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. What does that mean? That means there were people who were throwing away their confidence. That means there were people who had walked with God and gotten to a point in their life where they lost confidence because their faith wasn't active. They were just going to church. Now listen, read the verses. I didn't give these to the guys up there, but I'm going to read the verses right before that, okay? Listen to what it says. But remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. See, that's exactly the point I'm making, that faith, the object of faith, is pleasing God. He's not talking about a panacea here. He's not talking about living in a vacuum. He's writing to people who've lost everything just because they love Jesus. And he's saying, don't let your faith be discouraged. Keep believing God. Listen, life is hard. God is good. Goodness comes from God. And there are many disappointed people out there because they're trying to wring the goodness out of life. You can make life good, you can sprinkle, but at the end of the day, it's God's good. Everything could change tomorrow. Right? Change today. We could have a tornado. We can't control those things. But God is God, and I'm a believer. So my job is to believe God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him, and my job is to be a God pleaser. So we must maintain a spirit of faith as a community of believers, as a local church. The most precious thing we have to offer is our faith to God, because that's what he's given us. Okay? Very, very important. I'm going to read one more verse. I'm going to switch gears. Hebrews 2, the third verse, says this. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That's a warning, right? Now think of neglect, right? You can have something that's a great possession, I know on the turnpike, when I drive, to Michigan and Ohio, I drive out that way. And on the right-hand side, oh, about 70, 80 miles into Ohio, there was this barn on the side of the road. Probably for 20 years, I've noticed that barn, the roof being peeled back, you know, every year. We're, beautiful barn. And the last time I went, it was completely collapsed. Just neglected. Why? I mean, it would have been so easy to maintain that. It was such a value. And see, there's a treasure in you. There's a value that God has put in you. And you can neglect it. You can just not feed it. You cannot fellowship it. You cannot wash it. Think of all the things that you need. Feeding, washing, fellowship. That's what you do with your faith. That's why when, you know, we were talking about the women's conference, what happened was just a bunch of people getting together. Because we need that. We need to ignite that in us. We need to break patterns in our life. That's why just even coming together. This is the book, by the way, that says not to neglect the gathering of yourselves together. Because that's what started happening. They started, you know, we need that. Listen, honey, it's not about you. Like, where does you fit into this? God has given you a treasure in your faith that you can't neglect. Praise the Lord. Don't fall back. If you feel yourself falling back, I don't want to paint with too broad a brush, but in some sense, it's because you're not faith engaged right now. There's not something you're actively trusting and engaged with God and believing for, even if it's something in you. I see people all the time, they want God to change them, but they're not believing. They're not standing on the scripture. So that brings me to my last point. How do we get faith? And can our faith grow? Those are good questions. Because some of you, I would just guess, have heard the lie that, well, you just don't have faith like other people. But the Apostle Peter said this, to those who have obtained a like precious faith. There's no bad faith God's dishing out. Are you with me? Ephesians 2 said we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. That faith is the same faith. It's the same precious gift. Now, what we do with that faith is important. So let's talk about how we get faith and how we grow in faith for a couple minutes. Can we do that? Let's go to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Now, let me walk this out for you, okay? Faith comes by hearing. When you hear what God says, that's the will of God. Matter of fact, we're going to read the verses before this because the verses before us tell us the will of God to save us. Like, we didn't invent this. The apostles didn't gather together and say, let's come up with a plan of salvation. Let's create a system of belief. No, God said, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what you have to believe. And we're going to look at those verses. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why does certain forms of worship raise our faith level? That's not your imagination. It's not your imagination that in those times of worship, there's a little courageous man or woman in you that's fighting to get out and wants to go do something. Right? Why? Because we're proclaiming the word of God. We're saying God is who he said he is. Right? Are you with me? I want to slow down here. So the more I hear what God says, the more I'm incubating and fertilizing my faith. All right? My wife likes ferns. So she was away. I went out and bought her some ferns. I had them on the porch. And then I went and got some stuff you pour in them. What a miracle grow. I don't know if that was invented by a Christian or not. And I didn't just hang them out there and say, hope you work it out, buddy. So I'm going to make you grow. I'm going to pour some miracle grow on you. Amen. Listen, the Bible compares your heart to soil. That's what Jesus said. He said a sower went out to sow. Your soil. What's being sown into your soil? The Word of God. Let me go back to Faith's testimony again. So a doctor comes and tells her one thing. Now here's where the fight of faith comes. And here's where your faith muscles start to build, when you start pushing back. See, faith is not denying what's real. Faith is saying there's something bigger. Amen. Amen? Amen. Right? The Bible says faith is calling those things that be not as though they are. It's not calling those things as are as though they be not. It's not pretending something isn't bad. Matter of fact, faith shines in the face of things that are bad. That's where you need to believe the most. But she had a peace in her heart and was hanging on to God. Because there was a bad report on one side, but a good report in here. Are you with me? And I can tell you, every situation in our life where we've seen major breakthrough, there was another voice telling us this wasn't going to work. And you cling to that voice. You know, the Bible says, Romans 4, that Abraham was the father of our faith. Right? And in Romans 4, it talked about, you know, Sarah getting pregnant in her old age. It says, who against hope believed in hope. What did Abraham do? It says he considered not, listen, the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't deny it. He just said, I know who she is. I know how old she is. But there was a God that gave me a word. And I'm going to hang on to that word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. You do not have a faith deficit. You have a word deficit if your faith isn't working. You do not have a faith deficit. You have a word deficit. Okay? Building yourself up in your most holy faith. Okay? Are you with me so far? Let's go to those scriptures I gave you in the verses before that, I think, starting in verse 11, Romans 10, 11. I just want you to see this, because when we're talking about believing, we're not talking about, like, making things up to believe. I know there are people that do that, like, and they're like, wait a minute, that's not what God said here. For the Scripture says, what's our authority? Scripture. The Scripture. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord, remember I talked about the bullet, same Lord of all abounding in riches for all who call upon him. I think I gave you verse 13 too, didn't I? Yeah, okay. For everyone, listen to this, everyone who what? Calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. When those people were preaching to me on a street corner, and I could not imagine in my wildest dreams why God would save me. And they showed me verses like this. Even to an unbeliever, faith started to arise in my heart. The faith I needed to get born again started entering my spirit. And I trusted Jesus. I didn't get delivered first. I didn't get cleaned up first. I didn't go to church first. I didn't know the Bible first. I did something that's impossible in the natural. I let faith enter my heart. And trusted Jesus. Amen? Yeah. And whether you were a down and outer or whether you were an up and outer, you have to have that same thing where you say, you know what? I choose the report of the Lord. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then a couple of verses later says, what? So faith comes by hearing. So this is our message to the world. This is our message to the world. Okay. Last verse, I think. Romans 12:3. Let's just go there, because I really want to pound this, because I just sense in my spirit there are people struggling with this. I think this is my assignment today. For through the grace given to me, now notice this, Paul doesn't give his resume here. Right? He doesn't say, look, I'm really educated and you guys should listen to me. Which he was, right? I say to everyone, circle everyone. Is there anybody here who's not an everyone this morning? Don't you love how the Bible is so, it doesn't give you a way out. It's very clear. I say to everyone among you not to think. No, wait a minute. Time, stop. Listen, when the Bible says do not think this way, here's what it means. Do not think this way. What it means is there are believers who think this way. Do not think this way. Say it out loud with me. Do not think this way. How should you not think? Okay. Okay, stay with me. More highly of himself than he ought to think. That's good, right?
Yeah.
Right? Comparison either makes you puffed up or makes you feel like a worm. There's no win in comparison, right? But to think as to have sound judgment. A lot of translations say soberly. To be sober. That means to have all your faculties on alert. Now watch this. As God has allotted to each a measure of faith. When you're looking around at people and you're hearing Faith share her testimony. Well, yeah, that's not what happened to me. I lost a baby. Don't have wrong judgment. This is important. Because that will shut you down. Don't compare yourself to someone. God has given you a measure of faith. God has given you a measure of faith. God has given you a measure of faith. You may not have some of the same gifts other people have. You may not have some of the same circumstances other people have. You may not have some of the benefits and blessings that other people have. But I'll tell you one thing you do have. You got the same measure of faith. The Apostle Peter again said it is a like precious measure of faith that you have. And that faith is designed to equip you to do the things that God has called you to do and to be victorious in your life even when it appears you don't get the desired response that your faith is reaching out for. At the end of the day, you don't regret trusting God. That's a great testimony. And I'm telling you, that's true in my life. I cannot remember. And I've had some disappointments. Big ones. But at the end of the day, I never felt like, God, what was that all about? Why did I believe you? Why did I pour my life out? Why did I give some? I've never backed off of that. Why? Because I got better mind than you do? I probably not. Because I understand this. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And the ultimate goal of faith is to please God. See, here's what happens. When you really start flowing in that, it gets contagious in your life. And you start being a multi-pronged believer. You start believing for things that are out of your realm to accomplish. Hallelujah. Because it's Godward. And I'm a believer, and that's what believers do. Are you with me? So, let's be real clear. You do not have a faith problem, you have a word problem. Bad things happen to good people. Hebrews 11, we just read it. Hebrews 10, rather. Right? Had their property seized, all these big things, but don't throw your confidence away. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul is in jail ready to be executed. Now, like we read 2 Timothy, like, follow me as a good soldier. Yeah, the guy was ready to get killed when he said that. Like, put it in context. How could somebody be bold to say that? Because he did not regret what he did. Because it was Godward. There is a freedom in that. There is a liberty. There is a lack of fear of losing. There is a lack of fear of shame. There is a lack of fear of rejecting. There is a lack of fear of not getting your own way. There's a lack of fear of being disappointed because it's trusting God. I just did what God asked me to do. And then on the other hand, when something goes good, you don't really pat yourself on the back too much. You say, God, you sure showed up. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. Aren't you glad God put this all out there for us? Listen, I'm going to go back to the beginning. Without faith, it's impossible Don't slide back. Don't be a noun in a sea of verbs. Be engaged. Have an act of faith. What are you believing for? So here's how this works. Often, meetings like this, different meetings, I'll feel the Lord speak to my heart, and I'll say, okay, I'm going to pray for sick people today, or I want to pray for marriages that are in trouble, or I want to pray for people that want to start businesses, or I want to, you know what I mean? And invariably, people will respond to that because it's the Holy Spirit. Then often when these people come up, I'll say, okay, I'm going to pray with you, and I'll say to them, what verse are you standing on? Now, they're the ones that said they were believing for this, not me. And oftentimes, I have the deer in the headlight look. And they're saying, well, I know God wants to do it. No, you've got to know what God said about it. Are you with me? That's a practical illustration. Okay? So whatever you're believing God for, you ought to get an arsenal of scriptures. We've got healing scriptures. We got peace scriptures. We got victory scriptures. We got deliverance scriptures. Are you with me? Whatever you're believing for, you ought to be able to rapid fire, get those out. And by the way, confessing those things does not impress God. God doesn't say, okay, you said it enough, I'll give it to you. No. I mean, I don't even work that way. Ask my kids. Okay? What it does is it ignites your heart. Because listen, I'm going to tell you a secret. You believe what you say. So you just ought to say the right things. Hello? You believe what you say. That's why the confession of the word is strong. Because that's what builds your heart. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Are you hearing the word apart from Sunday morning for half an hour? Okay? Stand up with me, please. Hallelujah. You know what I believe? I believe God wants to give this church an incredible facility. No, I believe this. You can ask Pastor Gary because I torture him about it all the time. I believe the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. That's what the Bible says. I believe about 3 years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart and said with the changing in economics and e-commerce and COVID, that the church was going to own commercial property that we never dreamed we could touch. I believe I had a clear word from the Lord on it. And I'm hanging on to that word. I'm just looking for partners that will hang on with me. Are you with me? See, that's what I'm talking about, fighting the good fight of faith. There's lots of things I believe. What do you believe about you? And if I put you in a corner and said, give me a verse or die, would you die or give me a verse? At least one. You know, questions I ask people, listen, Pastor Ben, listen, this happens all the time. Somebody will come up and I'll start to pray for them. And I'll say, let me ask you a question. Are you a believer? They'll say, yeah, I'm a believer. And I'll say, how do you know you're saved? And almost every time they'll tell me about an experience and not the word. They'll say, well, you know, when I was a kid, or, you know, I had a great... Wait a minute, I didn't ask you that. What authority do you have here to stand before me and tell me that you're going to heaven? I'm saved by grace through faith in myself. It's a gift of God. Hallelujah. See, that's what I'm talking about today, making our authority the word, not our experience, whether it's good or whether it's bad. I love those. I had a great experience. But at the end of the day, I've had some bad experiences, but I'm still saved. Hallelujah. And I'm planning on staying that way. Amen? Are you with me? Lift up your hands this morning. Lord, I pray this morning that you will stir the soil of our hearts this morning. God, I pray for people in this room that are in noun faith. They're sincere, but they're sincerely going nowhere. And God, that you would stir them up. God, I pray, God, they would see the enemy's scheme to disappoint them and for them just to coast, to withdraw, to isolate, to not use their gifts, to not use their calling. Come on. God is stirring soil here this morning in Jesus' name. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. The girl who plays the piano, what's her name?
Beth.
Hey, Beth. Beth, honey, when you were playing the piano this morning, I looked up at you and I just felt like the Lord was saying he wants to lift a lid. That you're operating on one lung. And he just wants to increase your breath capacity. There's so much more in you. And I just command that lid to come off, that disappointment to go away. Amen. A couple of you ladies around her, just lay your hands on her in Jesus' name. Anybody else like that this morning who feels like that? Well, man, that, I wish I had a word like that. That's me. If that's you, wave your hand. Wave it. There's no time to be shy. If that's you, amen. If that's you, wave your hand at me. Amen. This lady right here is waving her hand. The lady beside her, this brother here. I want some people just a couple guys, couple gals, get around them. Amen. 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 Breathe deep, Beth. God's, hallelujah. Breathe deep. There's just an increased capacity, a freshness of believing, trusting, releasing yourself in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Ben just a second. I just want to give you one more little admonishment. The first one was about believing for yourself what God has put in your life, and make sure you're not just coasting. You're not that car on neutral hoping somehow you're going to go uphill. Did somebody lay hands on these ladies here? Did somebody get them? Right here. Amen. A couple ladies right here, please. Be bold. Amen. Thank you, Father. The other thing is when Pastor Ben is sharing vision about Bridge City Church, whether it's missions or a youth thing or an outreach, whatever it is, just begin to engage faith and say, God, what is my part in that? Rather than that's what those people do. Maybe you'll have a part in it, active, maybe you won't. But when we don't have active faith, one of the things that happens is we automatically exclude ourselves from what God is doing. Rather than saying, Romans 3, I'm not comparing myself to anybody, but I got faith, I can show up. Hallelujah. I'll be honest with you, and I don't say this in any form of false humility. Most of the rooms I'm in and the crazy things that God has done supernaturally, often I'm the least qualified person in that room. I'm just telling you the truth. But God's not looking for that. He's looking for faith. Are you with me? Because that's what moves God. Faith is the currency of heaven. Amen. Let's believe God. Let's believe God. Let's believe God, Pastor Ben.